Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
show number 1358. Welcome as you're ready to open the house and lay out the buffet of good food for thought with the chefs and the loving mad scientists here at Soul Secret Yo
and the Raw.
My name is Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Folks, you ready for the Raw? Proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Brother Man Network. And BASN, the Black Athlete Sports Network. Where you can get all the good shit. To who, what, when, where, why. And how. Right now. Or should I say who, what, when, where, why. And how. Right now. At www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie, down in Richmond, Virginia, riding the range, knacking strange. The Orlando Ledbetter and Shaw Jones, repping Philly. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit City, along with Mike Robeson in Oakland, California, co-host of the African American Athlete Show. On Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, please lend them your ears and some good listen. And check out their website at theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. Of course, Pat Freeman, the Mighty O-Bar, truly celebrating his first work printed, The Art of the Interview. We're going to have O-Bar in here soon so he can talk to us in depth about this. And of course, taking care of business up in Western New York with the Rochester Chargers, soon to be performing as members of the Minor Football League. That rest of the chefs will be chiming in as they do. Right now with me riding shotgun as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What's up, G?
The masters need to be protested. The masters need to be protested. They
right.
Start.
That's a nice way to lead off.
They start this Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
In Augusta, Georgia, and nobody said a word.
Well, you know what they're thinking. Well, we gave you something already. You Negroes keep asking for stuff. Why should we cancel the Masters? It's got nothing to do with the Voting Rights Act. Now, those are just some of the things that they'll toss out at you. But you know, there was questions whether or not they'd do it or not. And with everything coming on the heels that it did, there are some who might believe that this was done specifically to take everything off the fact that the Masters should be protested as well. And, of course, that didn't work out. So even though it may be the right thing to do, it wasn't going to be the green thing to do. That's money for them to be losing in too short a time.
Michael, Major League Baseball did the right thing.
I'm not saying they didn't. You're right there. I think so.
Yeah, but this is the thing about Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball is 80% Caucasian.
This is true.
Now, you have some people like Curt Schilling,
mm-hmm.
who has criticized Major League Baseball for doing what they're doing.
Right.
We all know Curt Schilling is a Donald Trump wannabe, so we do that right with him.
That's also
true. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So baseball got what football was. The National Football League got 4 years ago.
Right.
Man, maybe baseball is going to feel the same thing. Mm-hmm. What I mean is this. You have the liberal left wing. The protest baseball.
Right.
And you have the radical right wing the protest baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that happened 4 years ago with the NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL said, okay, enough. We're not going to listen to you guys anymore.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, will baseball survive? Of course. Of course it will.
Mm-hmm.
Because their ba- back in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the 90.
Yeah.
Back Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not going to budge. Like, hey, budging.
Well, look at it this way. Baseball did, although I like what Tony said, he's like, it's not like this guy's is Huey P. or his last name. It wasn't like it was that radical thing to do. You know, it was the right thing to do. But still, it's a huge move because I think baseball did this part out of desperation, G. You know, like we've been talking about it on and off for the last month. They really don't have a leg to stand on. There's no way they can really take a huge leap and pass football or basketball with one move. So they have to make some sort of moral foundation to buttress their position again. And having done this, you know, Huey P. Manfred, as Tony likes to call him, may have at least woke up. He is at least woken up the echoes with this, okay, we must do this, we're going to do this, and then he did it. You know, this was not posturing. This was not the cat sitting around the table going, hrump, hrump, hrump. He said, all right, we move this to Denver. I don't know why he moved it to Denver, but we got Tony here. Tony, we're glad he did it, but what makes you think why he did it and why Denver?
All power to the people. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was going to be – I thought because they're still going to be honoring Hank Aaron, I thought Milwaukee.
Kansas City?
Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah, Milwaukee makes sense.
Kansas City would have been nice, too, with the because of, you know, with the Negro League touch as well.
Yes.
Denver, apparently, the real winners here are the people who run the home run derby because apparently, they might as well just have it at Grand Canyon. I guess at this point in time, right now.
Yeah, you know what? The balls may be so juiced up you probably can hit one today.
Yeah,
everything is going on,
and they won't even need to use the Gas House Gorilla's bat to hit them up.
I love that.
But that being said, it's good. Yeah, you're gonna experience. Go ahead, guy.
No, good. No,
look, did not see this coming. You know, we were way ahead of the game in talking about this because the mainstream media, they were too busy trying to tell you about Justin Fields' lack of acumen for the NFL game, which we'll get into.
We're gonna get into Justin later, no doubt.
This started with conversations amongst the MLB Players Association, i.e. Tony Clark. I also, and now that we've had sort of some time to really sit back and digest this, I also think there was a big influence from the Players Alliance, i.e. CeCe Sabathia, Curtis Granderson, Adam Jones, and others. Now, see, here's the thing. This was completely out of character for Major League Baseball. The Ace Rap Manfred references. I personally like Marcus Mosea Manfred. Personally, I think that
there
one.
There you go.
That's
like that. Yeah.
You get the three M's, but
there you go.
This was again. Am I happy that they did it? Happily and surprised, but again, I can't. You know, the cynic in me is saying, "What are the ulterior motives here.
I was about to say this weekend. The popularity of Formula One, racing,
which
was number 7 5 years ago, number 7, it has jumped to number 5.
Oh yeah, okay, See, let's completely real here. Depending on what part of the country you're talking about, baseball is not, surprise, it's not popular. Now look, New York, Chicago, L.A., you know, the big cities, you know, where there are multiple teams, it's definitely going to be popular. But overall, in some instances, college football, college basketball, Formula One, and another sport that people sort of sleep on, college soccer and lacrosse,
is
more popular than Major League Baseball. And again, I emphasize Major League Baseball because, you know, unfortunately, what the pandemic did to minor league baseball last year, goes back to like almost, you know, the Stone Ages, where they're still trying to resurrect themselves, and
good point.
Major League Baseball did not help them any by dismantling minor league baseball the way it has, you know, coming into 2021. But it's sort of, you know, we've been talking about the chicken and egg factor with Jackson State and Prime. So again, where did this come from? Because here's the thing. Mainstream media is playing it off like this started in a vacuum. And it didn't.
Right.
It clearly didn't. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like Dr. Martin Luther Manfred woke up the next morning and said, you know, I'm taking the All-Star game out of Atlanta. No,
that's
no.
Right.
This was not a dream.
Play it last. Thank God Almighty, play it last.
Boy, if I could, but you know, what we need now is Richard Pryor to be doing how long? Not long. You know.
How long? I guess I know.
But all that being said, the question is, what is the, you know, who lit the flame here? And the scuttlebutt now is that by doing this, baseball has sort of alienated whatever old white fans that they did have left.
Yeah, the right wing.
To a certain extent. But see, here's the thing. Baseball has tried so hard over the last... See, baseball's still playing catch-up. Baseball mentally still thinks it's the 1980s. They still look at themselves as the pastime.
Right. That's right.
They're not even dinner or lunchtime for a lot of people.
Nope. Baseball has regressed.
They still don't realize that they lost a generation of young, old, fans with the 94
strike.
They're still recovering. They really are.
Yeah, well,
now, see, all of us here are different because we're, you know, I'll put myself out there. Even after all these years, I'm still, my favorite sport is still baseball. I'm the guy that sits through a 7-1 Met game in the ninth inning with two outs and two strikes on the batter saying, okay, anything can happen here.
Yeah, okay.
Mark Maffin, that's you know, that's part masochism and part, you know, whatever. That's a 2 hour
That's true.
But mm-hmm. that being said, the, you know, and we've talked about this, you know, over the last, you know, months or so, whatever. Baseball's dwindling fan interest is real.
Yeah,
and
it
I
is.
Think do I think they did this to stir up more or whatever? No. No, absolutely not. I think you know, they looked at this as, you know, to a certain extent, I think they looked at this as somewhat of and wanting to be on the quote unquote right side of history.
Right.
And
no, I'm with you on that, Tony, because you hit it on the head. They don't really have a way to jump forward, and all of a sudden, baseball's back on top. They can't do it. There's no way they can even do a sustained effort to do this. So this was one of those one-ups that they got to look at and say, we got to do this. If it made sense more from a business standpoint than from a moral standpoint, I would think they made it. We got the professor in the mix. And professor, you're the right person to ask at the moment, because you saw Charlotte lose money on the NBA when they moved it because of the issue. What was it about using bathrooms and whatnot for transgender people?
That was more of a college thing, though. That was the NCAA.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, either way, money left the state, and that's what this is about. Money left Georgia and went to Colorado. So, having said that, are you surprised that Major League Baseball went this far?
Good evening. I'm actually
good
more
evening.
Shocked. And just looking at big picture, you know, there, because
mm-hmm.
I've already been asked, why didn't the NBA bail out of Atlanta? Well, the reason there
right.
was it was too close for one thing, and for another, it was too close, and it was not the kind of reaction time you got to deal with this. I personally know some people who probably will lose money on this whole deal because they're coming out from under in Atlanta from not
mm-hmm.
just this whole political thing, but everything else. Having said that, let me correct
right.
about one thing. I think the NBA did leave Charlotte in NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, the ACC left Charlotte.
Sure, you're right, Fred. It was the All-Star game. That's right. I stand corrected.
Then,
yeah.
But then, you know, when it comes to losing money on the NBA, as far as that's concerned, we do that every time the Hornets play. So, you know, we're used to
mm-hmm.
it. But,
yeah.
But, you know,
a tradition unlike its own.
I mean, you know, come on. We have no fan base here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We have one, you know, we have people who follow the Panthers, but nobody here follows the NBA. We got more coverage the last 3 days since the showman Davis was named coach at Carolina. That has gotten
wow.
far more play. So the NBA, if you know. If they left Charlotte, you know, they'd be missed. Okay, you know, the only thing they would say, okay, now Carolina State, and probably UNC Charlotte, who's on the rise. Okay, they can
mm-hmm.
play. Next time they can play. But looking at this whole thing, I don't know why they went. I mean, moving it away. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I don't even remember the last time I watched the All-Star game. But anyway, but moving
mm-hmm.
it away. But that was cool. But moving it to where they moved it, I mean,
come on. Denver.
Yeah. I thought for sure, Fred.
That was my
sure,
question. Why Denver?
I thought for sure it was going to be Milwaukee because they made an effort. They made a point when they released their statement. They made a point saying that they were still going to honor Hank Aaron. And I figured,
yeah.
oh, it's got to be Milwaukee. But at Denver. you know, Denver is like, I don't know.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there to establish that Major League Baseball. I mean, Coors Field and all that stuff, you know, Gary could probably hit a routine fly and that shit would go over the right field stand. There's nothing there that has any tangibility. I actually thought after Milwaukee, Kansas City would make sense because of the Negro League Baseball Museum. You know,
I really believe that we're going to go to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Negro League Museum was there. That's why they were going, because they were all talking about Hank Aaron.
And coming on the heels of their, you know, new, you know, quote unquote acknowledgement as well.
Yeah.
So it's this way.
Well, you know, this year is the year of the Negro anyway. So
right.
I mean, you would think that they would have done a better job of selecting than what they did.
Exactly.
I don't know what they were thinking, but you know, you got to remember too. Now, in these front offices, we getting younger, more and more younger people, you know, younger than us, kind of people making a lot of these decisions, and they're not going to make great decisions because you know they don't have a sense of history. You know,
true.
I just got to reading an article a few minutes ago, and it was talking about Dave Robbins as the first white coach at HBCU. And, you know, I had this run in some years ago. I said, no, Coach Stackhouse up at Lincoln University was the first. Well, how can that be? He said the CIAA. Well, yeah, Lincoln was in the CIAA from the founding to 1960. So in 1947-48, when this gentleman was named head coach at Lincoln University, he was a coach at Lincoln, and Lincoln was in the CIAA. Now, modern era, I mean, Whiteside and I have discussed this before. I mean, I showed him, see right here? Okay, that's when he was, that's when you came in. You came in 30 years after he did. Okay. You know, and most union people know that. But when you got this young snot who is like 20-ish, 20 early, maybe 30, in the office at the newspaper who wrote this article, that's what you get. And we're dealing with the same thing now. Think about it. Guys even white guys, even the most redneckish of white guys who will be old enough to remember most of this stuff, they're 80, 75, 80 years old now. Most of them are retired. So when you get somebody in these front offices, whether you can always think that you probably more likely have somebody really old in a team office than you would have somebody really old in a league office, because you know, you get your money. You're dealing under the regime of whoever the
previous guy was.
And so you know, these guys, whatever they lock in as a fact, that's what they say the facts are. Remember, pre ESPN. Post-ESPN.
That's right.
We've got two post-ESPN people in place in all places now. They all talk the same way. They all think the same way.
Yeah, we got 40 years now.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
40 years
now.
That's
a good point.
Gary, watch how you say that 40 years, because see, I've been out of college for 46 years. It's a telling thing.
Hey, you know what? We're still here. We're still here, though. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. But
you know what?
But see, we're still here, but they don't want to listen to people like us because, see.
Oh, I know.
Because they're locked in on analytics and that other BS that they like so
exactly.
much. They don't have a true feel for the realities. And they think the realities are what they say they are. And, you know. Maybe, you know, well, let's say Because the Broncos got rid of John Elway, right? So,
yes, they did.
No, he's still there.
He lost one of his hats.
I don't even remember a baseball player that's really well known from playing in Denver. You know, not off the top of my head, because that was first thing I thought. Who do I know was played up here? And I started thinking of names like Lyle Alzado and other people, all football.
Well, hold on. Let's hold up on this QEP Manfred for a second, because you put this up about 3 or 4 years ago, and it made sense. When Atlanta was building the new park in Cobb County, they moved it from a majority black folks area to a majority white folks area.
Yes,
and since they put this, and since they put this park together, And I have to give Howard Bryant, little turtleneck shit, some grudging credit here, because he brought up a great point. Remember, they weren't going to move from Milwaukee to Atlanta until Atlanta guaranteed that there would not be any racism regarding booking seats into the stadium. You know, so there had to be integration in the stadium, otherwise there were no Atlanta Braves. And that wasn't that long ago. Remember, we're talking 60s.
1966, so, matter of fact. 1966.
Yeah, so this was not that long ago. But you match that up with the premise of moving to Cobb County, where it's a considerably wider environment for their players to go and for their fans to go. And it's like, all right, well, who are you really building this stadium for? Don't tell me you're building it for your fans, because all your fans ain't included in this bad boy.
And Mike, it's also aesthetically. See, Fulton County Stadium was literally, you know, it's downtown, you know, downtown Atlanta. Now,
yeah.
to their credit, Turner Field, which should have been Hank Aaron Field, but that's another 2-hour conversation itself.
Yep.
Was basically part of that holy trinity of downtown with the Georgia Dome, the then Phillips Arena.
That's right.
Georgia Tech. I forget the name, whatever Dodge State, I forget the name of the stadium, but their all of their sports stuff was basically downtown, downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, in the downtown core. I've been there.
Cobb County is, I want to say, about 40 miles away
it's
from
suburban.
Downtown.
It's definitely suburban.
And, the thing is, there is, I think, like the compared to the city, the public transportation is almost nil. Matter of fact, a friend of mine has once said the only thing difference between Cobb County and a gated community is that Cobb County doesn't have gates.
You're right. Yeah, you're right about that. And their public transportation system, MART, is pretty good. But it's still, and we got Radio Reggie in the mix, it still makes it difficult to swallow the full effect of it.
Mainly baseball also, better be careful with the Oakland A's. If they don't get this stuff straight out by the end of this year, the A's are out of California.
That's what I was saying next, because remember, a few years back when the Coliseum was having another one of their problems,
the Raiders,
they played at they opened the season in Vegas. So once again, the precedent has already been set, we all know now that Vegas is it's a thumbs up for Vegas now, because you've got a hockey team, you've got an alleged football team. Sorry. And
they need to set out again so you can get that boy shot of range. I think you need to stay involved with Varsity, son. You didn't hear that team out.
Nah, I know Gary's gonna get me later, but that's what I think.
Son, when the facts are out there, he can't be got.
See, here's the thing. The only thing, you know what's the only thing right now that's saving the A's from not being in Oakland?
What was that?
Oh, it's COVID.
Yeah.
Well, this week,
there's a meeting with the Oakland City Council this week.
Isn't that like a yearly thing, about, Gary, where they sit down and say, we're not giving you a stadium, and they say, oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. No, we're not.
But what did Bugs Bunny and them say? Oh, yes, I am. Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, That's exactly why.
Just look at someone in Atlanta. When you had the Olympics there, what was the first development to go down? The old Techwood Home downtown. Let's not forget that. And then we have how many black churches were, should we say, displaced when they built that new football stadium. And again, that is history from our civil rights era, but nobody wants to talk about it. And I said, God bless the mayor of Atlanta, who's used executive order to tell the Republicans, kiss her beautiful, sweet black ass, and say, now, what you going to do? God bless.
Reggie. Just as a reminder, stalking is illegal in the state of Georgia. So
that's exactly right.
All I got to say is you got
enough Divine Nine down there, so they need to crank their asses up. That's all I got to say.
Reggie,
did you say
just,
Divine Nine
I'm
or
just,
Divine Behind?
Yeah,
you know, you got brothers in there, so I don't know if you want to say behind.
Mike, I'm just trying to protect Reggie from Malcolm Manfred X from taking away.
So me and Deshaun Watson have a lot in common, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
so wait a minute now. Look at all of this.
The Georgia State flag, let me spit down here. The Georgia State flag was changed that year. Why? Because the IOC said, we ain't playing under that flag.
Gary, the IOC got their arm twisted into saying that. They didn't do that of their own volition.
Because remember they embraced the swastika in 1936. So it's not like Martin Luther brought King Brundage wasn't going to do anything in regards to that too. So let's be clear here.
But it's interesting how right after the Olympic left, guess what happened?
Hey, you know what? If nothing else, they're consistent. Consistently out of touch, but consistent nonetheless.
You got that right.
Did we lose Mike? You still there, Mike?
Mike, you there?
I'm still here.
Now, Mike, don't be playing these games like you did last week. We ain't having it, Mike.
Wait a minute. Okay, by the way, I had a ham sandwich earlier on. But Reggie, think about this.
Get the itis out the way. Just get down to business, brother. Get the itis out the way.
Let's think about this. Okay, now, when you set up for an event like an all-star game or a Super Bowl, there's two things you have to do first. Provide logistics for everybody who's supposed to come, meaning the press. And we've seen events where the media is like the hot ticket in town. I've been to Super Bowls where they've given out as many as 25 to 3,500 press credentials. That's just for people coming in. And they get a special rate on the hotels because the league had enough foresight to buy space for five or six different hotels so they could set the price based on bulk. Now, I don't know if Major League Baseball does things the same way, but if
so.
You're expecting them to be in Atlanta with a possible full house of, or even half a full house, say 40,000 people in Atlanta, in a town where, again, ancillary revenue comes into play, so you got hotels, bars, clubs, all that other stuff. We are talking upwards of anywhere between $150 to $300 million just to pull the event off. So Home Run Derby and all the other side dishes that they throw into the mix before they even get down to play, that's how much money they are hoping they have in the till before the umpire says play ball. So this is not a couple bags of groceries. They've got to look at the situation, and Mike,
that's why folks who think that this happened in a vacuum are missing the point. They, again, the story itself in regards to when I first heard about it through the players from the Major League Baseball Players Association, it goes back to spring training. So this has been, this has been in the works. And like you said, you have to know, they had to have had some backup. I would think with anything like this, you always would have sort of a contingency backup plan. And also, considering the whole, the C word again, that had to play, that had to play into it as well. So, literally and figuratively, there's a lot of factors in regards to this. But it's interesting because the woman who somewhat started all of this, Stacey Abrams, was against it. She said that it was going to hurt a lot of black patrons. And yeah, it will.
Yep.
They
keep the Republican lying machine to try to jump shit on her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, here's the thing. Everybody's been doing the whole political football with this.
Right.
And the one thing that no one keeps talking about is the actual reason why this came to fruition. Because let's face it, the history of voter suppression in the state of Georgia has been well
documented.
And see, here's the thing. For all the people who still want to try to say, don't turn sports into politics, please take several seats, because that barn door was let out long before there was an Atlanta Braves or a Milwaukee Braves or a Boston Braves. Again, we referenced, Jesse Owens in 36. You can reference Schmeling and Lewis in the 30s. You can reference Jackie Robinson. You can use sports. It's there. It's all there. And for you and for someone to have the audacity to try and play the whole, shut up and dribble, so to speak, thing, you're incredibly naive. Because, again, you have to look at history. Even if you're talking about moving things because of, other political issues. You had the, we have the aforementioned AFL championship All-Star game in 1965. You had the Super Bowl thing with the state of Arizona. We talked about what happened with the state of Carolina with the NCAA and the NBA and the NBA. So again, if you're paying attention and you know the history, even just recent history, this is not something that just happens in a vacuum. Now,
Tony,
the biggest thing is it wasn't the league you would expect to do it. The Major League Baseball is the last ones you would think to pull a John Carlos.
Tony, go back three spaces. Go back to New Orleans back in 65 and what happened there. Now, the AFL truly didn't have a clout position to work from.
Absolutely.
The NFL was the old guard. They had everything. They had all the cards. AFL didn't have a whole card that they could play. You know, they were seriously risking getting Boston out of the situation. But because they held fast to this and they took it back and they generated their own game, nobody would ever know how much money the fledgling league lost because they moved to Rice and Jepson Stadium in Houston. You know, we don't know how much money they would have made, but the fact that they almost got cut off at the nuts, I would contend that the NFL did some dick bastardly shit in goading the people in New Orleans to bypass or at least throw a wrench into what the AFL was going to do. I don't think the NFL expected them to move it.
Sure.
But I'm thinking the NFL, because did New Orleans get it next year? Was it 66 or 67 that the Saints
they
came
got
to the league?
Same year. They got them. Them and the Falcons came in the same year because, they basically wanted, you know, if they were going to be in the South.
They wanted the South in there, Southern Fried Football.
They wanted to have a built-in, you know, the teams to have, quote-unquote, built-in rivalries. And see, again, if you go, again, when you go with history, remember, the Minnesota Vikings were originally supposed to be an
AFL team. That's right.
And, of course, the Arlington Cowboys was an affront to Lamar Hunt's then Dallas Texans. When you realize the history and how the NFL tried to play that whole, oh, we don't acknowledge them, but put it this way, it's sort of like the ex-girlfriend who says, well, I'm not talking to that guy, but she makes sure he watches Facebook page every other day.
Exactly.
Well, we were in New Orleans. The year of New Orleans game.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans was very segregated down.
Oh, sure. Sure.
That year we went down there. My dad was going to summer school at Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we could not get an apartment in New Orleans for over 3 weeks?
Not surprised.
And the New Orleans Saints said, if you don't change your ways, we're out of here.
Well, it's, you know, they almost didn't get the franchise. Because, see, again, the NFL saw what was going on with New Orleans. Even though they said they weren't competing with the AFL, when in fact they really were behind the scenes. And if I remember correctly, didn't the merger talks begin at the first Super Bowl in 67?
I believe it did.
Yeah.
In 1965, they started to dance around with the idea of it. But it wasn't solidified until Joe Willie and the Jets made it sure.
Yes.
And they made sure that the AFL was going to be on equal footing because the NFL is really throwing its weight around, and that weight is still thrown around even to this day. There are players that we've talked about, guys like Otis Taylor, Clem Daniels, who should have been in the Hall of Fame. But because they were AFL players, the NFL passed it down to their beat people that we are not to speak glowingly of these guys. I mean, even Vince Lombardi got in that shit with his punk ass by saying, oh, they're a great team, but, you know, they're not the NFL. And that's why Kansas City went out and spanked those motherfuckers 62-21 in the first game of the exhibition season the following year. They had a point to make. And the AFL had been making that point ever since. So if we weigh all of these things together, we know one thing's for sure. Baseball did not do this out of the goodness of their heart. Although there was a moral twinge to this, they did this out of business. They did this for business. And they're hoping that up the road, it will come around full circle and they'll pick up something from it. But this was not done like this is a moral affront to black players everywhere or to Georgians everywhere. Oh, fuck no. This is a Branch Rickey move. It looks good from a PR standpoint and all of that. Yeah, we're moving. Somebody weighed that maybe moving the game wasn't going to hit business as hard as some people thought it would. And I think they're riding that with the – let's put it this way. If Trump was still president, the game would not be moved. Am I making some sense here?
I need to say, I think it's still would be moving Trump was here or not.
Okay.
I don't – you know what? I can't – I, you know – so my gut says no, but see again, my gut also said that they weren't going to move in the first place. So I don't, my gut, my gut tells lies now. So I can't, so I don't know whether to believe my gut.
But what did you know?
But yeah,
those roadblocks.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Those business roadblocks matter.
Here's the thing.
Because,
here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We, what we saw from a lot of these leagues was they did not want to, quote unquote, deal with the wrath of Trump. So, in a sense, maybe Major League Baseball wouldn't have done it because, see, there was, the sad thing with a lot of these, corporations and what have you, their biggest fear, they didn't mind being called out as racist, but if Trump called them out on Twitter, they would pee in their pants.
Oh, yeah.
I think it speaks more of them than it does of the action.
I think you're right. If anything, this asshole has weaponized social media in a manner that no other head of state would ever have even thought to do. And we wouldn't have thought about it either, which is why so many folks were shocked. But they should have known from the primary when he was clowning people that this was something that he was very capable of doing, even though he was out and out incompetent. But to just put a bow on all of this with New Orleans and stuff and the mixing between Atlanta and New Orleans, remember, from 1960 on, Washington was told, when they moved from Boston, don't come down here with that racist shit. Yeah, we know we got racists in Boston, but you can't give us that shit because many of the players are fucking black, so you got to stop it. And did George Preston Marshall's racist ass stop? Yes. He took Bobby Mitchell. He said, I'll take one of you motherfuckers. He took one. And he just happened to be a Hall of Famer, but he took one. And now as this thing carries on, New Orleans has grown from this site where they saw money coming out of their pockets. And I got to tell you, in the 13 Super Bowls I covered, the city that does the best job, and I'm not just talking about food and all the other good shit, New Orleans is the best. Because I can do everything all in one swap. I can go in, I can look at the game, I can get my interviews, I can file copy. I'm out. By the time these motherfuckers are in their drawers, I'm out. And I can go and get some food or whatever, being all that stuff. And New Orleans made it easy that way
because of how my logistics were set up. And Mike, I think, them and Miami have hosted the most Super Bowls, if I remember correctly?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Miami wasn't bad, but literally Atlanta was perfect. New Orleans was perfect at doing just those things. You didn't anything.
And let's be honest. The Super Bowl is always either the last Sunday in January. Traditionally, it was always the last Sunday in January or the first Sunday in February. And what happens in New Orleans in February?
Hello.
Exactly.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The food was so good.
It's like it would be empty. Look,
just to make an old Raider reference, John Matuszak went down there to eat, not to play.
You ain't shitting. I wouldn't have been mad at him if he did. I have to give it to everything. I'd be big as a house. I swear to God, if I lived in New Orleans 6 months, I'd be huge. I'd be sitting on the porch with the suspenders on and the hound dog next to me. How y'all doing? Yeah, because I'd be into that shit.
So you're saying, Mike, if you had to haul ass, you had to make at least 2-3 trips.
Oh hell yeah! I'd have to call an Uber for the rest of the ass.
Every 4 o'clock, it's not raining. Every 4 o'clock, it's downtown, okay? It's 4 o'clock, it's raining.
And you know, Gabby, you know but what Mike, I'm doing at 4 o'clock?
The cash cow will be all those vendors, man.
Those events always, you know, those events always tip. And see, that is the other ugly aspect here because, you know, there's a lot of, look, like Fred said, and it's obvious there's going to be some black, there are some black folks that are going to be hurt by this.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Yep. And again, but see, again, it goes back to, and this is the slippery slope of this. And again, I guess it depends. And again, this is—I don't think this is a political thing per se, but what, you know, nobody wants to take food out of people's mouths. But think about what these laws have been and will try to do. Because see, here's the thing: justify this woman who was arrested for just trying to find out what's going on in that secret meeting. So the fact that they, first way. If they were so big and bold about the law, why would you do, dare I say it, Mike, some big dastardly shit? And
that's what I'm talking about. That's right.
If they're going to do all that and you still want to come up, because see, that's the whole thing. I just want one person to try and justify the arrest of, and I can't remember her name, forgive me. The woman who was arrested.
Miss Owens, Candace Owens, and Tim Scott said that she was wrong. Need I say any more?
Well, put it this way. Knowing what side their bread is buttered on, that you know, that's just they're just boils on the ass of life, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a matter of how much of
it is something boiling.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to shift things now to a little bit of football, and I mean a little bit of football, especially if you're down there in Carolina, Professor. As a trade was completed between your Panthers and the New York Jets.
Don't say his Panthers.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. You end up getting the young so-called franchise quarterback who didn't do squat when he was in New York, although he had Adam Gase for a coach, so that almost excuses him. But now, Fred, what's been the initial reaction ever since you guys completed the trade for Sam Darnold?
Well, let's keep this 100. I'm a born again Steelers fan. Coming up on 40 years. Actually 45 years because I was in college back then. But having said that, if you play back the first 5 minutes I was talking, did I not tell you that? We don't have professional sports in North Carolina.
Yes, you did.
college basketball. So I don't know what day that – I remember hearing about that trade. Matter of fact, this young brother on Channel 5 was doing the sports, and he said, by the way, the Carolina Panthers made a trade with New York Jets for somebody – what this guy's name is we talked about?
Sam Darnold.
So basically, the announcement of his trade came in between the story about Hubert Davis becoming the new head coach at Carolina.
The nice coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, repeating that, you know, that Roy Williams had retired, didn't have it no more and had retired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's WRAL Sports. That now
you're
back
speaking,
to
you're speaking clearly priorities here.
So the nicest way I can say this, they know more about this boy. They know more about Reggie than they know about this boy.
Hey, but first, let's come at Conor and Mena talking trash to Deion Sanders. Oh, I'm sorry. And Professor Negro Domus again. And once again, Deion got the taste of the HBCU ass whooping.
Yes, he did.
And it ain't fall ball yet. This springtime, he getting that ass.
Reggie, I actually listened to more or less, I call it a bootleg streaming of the game. And the guy who was basically hosting the streaming, along with several of his faithful who basically sent him messages, said that was, they call the offense and the defensive play calling some of the dumbest thing they'd ever seen.
Oh, shit.
Professor, wait till the fall come. They ain't seen nothing yet.
They sinking their teeth into this. But let me, before we finish digging a hole for Deion, let's pick up on what's here in Carolina. Carolina has Teddy Bridgewater, and they had the young brother from the XFL who played at Temple, who played well, who actually won a game for them in a relief pitch situation. So now you got Darno. They're going to already pencil him in as the starter. They did not pay him to sit on the bench. What happens to Teddy, and where do we go from here in terms of the draft?
Well, they've already literally 2 minutes after Darno was traded, Panthers management basically called Bridgewater's agent and said, if y'all can make a trade, you know, go on.
Get the fuck out.
We're saying you got to leave, but you can't be. You probably won't be playing with us come 2021. So, and the sad thing is,
Walker,
you know,
that's the other kid.
Mm-hmm. TJ Walker. I won't say Madam TJ Walker. I won't do that. I won't do that. But that being said, Teddy's probably going to be on the market if he doesn't get outright cut. Unfortunately,
right.
And but see, the other rumor is that, you know, and again, you take it with a grain of salt, because only people that lie to you more leading up to the draft is Republicans, Democrats, and Pinocchio that lie to you more.
And insurance and life insurance salesmen. Yes,
them too. And put it this way. And all them commercials that has the brother that takes his EKG while fishing. So that's a whole other other story.
Exactly.
In and of itself. Although Slick Watson looks awful good for his days. I have to give him that.
Right.
But yeah. There's rumors that they may be looking after, they may be trying to go after Justin Fields in the draft.
Oh Lord.
And again, you always have to take it with a grain of salt this time of the year, because there are lies, damned lies, and no statistics.
Tony, this is even beyond salt. This is kosher salt we're talking about, because the Jets want a certain look for their quarterback. Now, Geno Smith, love him or hate him, he came in there. He played average on an average team. He really didn't do anything spectacular. But the long and short of it was, the Jets did not want him as their starter. They almost took him the second day as an afterthought. Because you remember, he was the last quarterback on the board. They were complaining about he hadn't gone, whatever it was. The opinions were varied on what he could or couldn't do. And he got picked. As soon as he had a chance to get the fuck out, he got the fuck out, and they helped him get the fuck out. But now, Gary, we saw Teddy Bridgewater play pretty damn good down in New Orleans. Now, Drew Brees is gone. Mm-hmm. Now, I would think, given his understanding of the offense down there, he would be a really nice bargain and a safety valve for New Orleans quarterback situation. That's not definitely defined, because this kid, Taysom Hill, he may be okay in spurts, but I can't say he'll hold up till a full season in the NFL.
No. Yeah. He's gonna make Tim Tebow look like damn Johnny Unitas the way he's at this time right now.
Yeah.
In the NFL is going to quarterback cars. You ain't seen nothing yet once.
Yeah, exactly. It's just starting. It's just starting because
it's the beginning.
You know, we already know that, you know, barring miracles or brain aneurysms, Lawrence is going to go number one to Saxonville.
Right.
And then, you know, and see now, and again, the pundits are trying to shove this kid from BYU down our throat.
I know.
Exactly.
Why are you fucking kidding me? Why is the kid from North Dakota? Why is where he goes?
Oh, sure. They're, put it this way. Now, I'm still going back and forth. I actually think Lawrence is going to be pretty good. I get tired of it.
He's going to be good.
He's going to be good. He'll be okay. He's going to deal with a learning curve, but I think he'll be okay.
Right.
I actually like Joe Burrow last year. Yeah, I actually like Joe Burrow. But the thing is, I think he's going to be okay.
He can play.
If they can get some actual human beings to block for him, he might actually.
How about that shit? Yeah,
might actually
I agree.
Do okay, you know.
Yeah,
but because of the size that he is, he'll work out pretty well because he's so tall. I like his wingspan.
Well, the thing is, look. At the end, you know, the thing about the NFL now is the old standard 6'4", 225-pound guy that stands there, you know, that's immobile. You have to be mobile.
Yeah.
You have to be mobile in this game. You have to have a semblance of
empty. We know that. Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, and indulge me here in a minute. I was watching on YouTube the evolution of Superman.
Oh my!
It's the same basic concept. The hero has to be white. No matter what, even on Krypton, he got to be white. Exactly. You know, when they even thought about making Michael L. Jordan as the next Superman, you know.
That's right.
The comic book folks were
lost their bunny rabbit blinking mind.
They were about to storm Gotham City like we saw them storm the Capitol back in January.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, but see, and it brings up the point of Mr. Fields with Ohio State. Now, I think the kid's going to be good. But again, surprise, surprise, he's being niggerized by mainstream media.
Yep.
And it's like, again, we're still doing this? It's like the woman in the AT&T commercial. Are we doing this again?
Gentlemen, there's an elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room.
Did someone just kill an iguana? Did someone just kill an iguana in the background there?
Okay, gentlemen, that was Deion Sanders saying,
It's my fault. I'm taking it. It's my fault.
Last year, number four, all the leading statistics in every category, in every department. What happened? Well, during the off-season, one lady, two ladies, three ladies, four ladies.
Not five.
But
not six.
Yeah,
not
but okay.
Mr. Watson's salary has dropped three times. He might get banned from the... Come on, what's going on?
As of right now, 21 women have stepped up and said shit. Two came public and said shit, but no criminal charges have been filed. So they're not that broken. I got Patrick Farrar with me as well. But they haven't brought charges against him. All they're doing is punishing him because he wouldn't be the good Negro and take what
and
Houston
they
was given
him. Yes.
Exactly. Patrick, can you hear
me? And remember, 5 years ago, Sadie Avenue, the number seven, Sadie Avenue. Here we go again.
I get tired of it, man. Gary, 2021 season hasn't started. I was talking to Mike the other night. The 2021 football season, NFL season, hasn't started yet, and I'm already I'm tired.
Mentally exhausted with this bullshit. You were talking about what might be getting done in the field. This is 10 years of a defined tactic that these dick bastardly motherfuckers have been doing. Ever since Cam Newton by Nolan Nowaki. Seriously, every year, some worse than others, but every year, a black quarterback has been subjected to this shit.
Yes.
And Patrick is here now. Can you hear me, Patrick?
Live and living color, folks. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right, brother.
We good. Patrick.
So, Mr. Fields is our subject for discussion, Patrick. Do you have any additional intel from your brethren in Ohio State as to what's going on and why is he getting the screw job?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you tonight like it is every Wednesday. Information, I reached out to two people I know who are in the know about everything, what's going on, people I know, and it's boiled down to this. Ryan Day, might I say, with all vigor and passion, was and is pissed at individuals who are describing Justin Fields and what he's done for the team and representing the university beyond what they know about at all. Here's a guy who lobbied to get the season to come back, kept his studies together. Led the team, led the workouts when they come out to be workout. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up, well, he was the first one in and last one in and the first one to leave. Where did you get that from? But like you said, every year, there's somebody always who through agents and people that want to position their player in a better position, particularly with the quarterback, happens every year.
Yes.
But the folk in Columbus are pissed across the board at what's happening and how they have looked at Justin Fields. Fortunately, Justin Fields and his family, because he's back in Atlanta now, has handled it well, haven't said a thing. But for those who teams who pass up Justin Fields, for some of these I ain't played a season, but I'm a quarterback, particularly Jets, who let, we can go into this later, Donald go to get a better-looking white boy to be the front of the cover of the magazine, along with some other stuff I could tell you later on about this situation. That's what they want, and that they should have that. But the team that picks up Justin Fields, hopefully it's San Francisco or some team that will let him grow. He'll show his stuff. And what angers me is the fact that you got freaking Matt Jones, one year wonder, based upon, and back to our boy Dan Olofsky says,
Don't get me started. That's two with Gary.
Along with what's the guy from Joseph Guy's name? I'm going, what's the one hand? He said, well, look at what Justin Fields had to work with. Look at the quarterbacks he had to work with. I said, wait a minute. Matt Jones last year was sitting on the bench with a clipboard in his hand, right?
Looking at
all the other quarterbacks, and now he gets guys who were the top receiver in the country. Why did
Thank
he
you.
The best receiving the country. He was on the bench.
Yep.
They come back and play. He did the same thing, and all of a sudden, his trajectory as a player just goes off the roof. But yet, Justin Fields, who has in mind and who has the best example of what real football is about, they keep talking about, well, you know, he had a bad game against Northwestern. Wait a minute. Let me see. Let me moonwalk this a little bit. Let me remix.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he beat Clemson the next week? And here's something else. He just won pass route by Chris Olave going left rather than going
hello.
Right. He could have been
right.
2 years in a row. Somehow
that's right.
He forgot about that. So all that.
Yeah, they also Patrick.
My
also forgot about.
Let me do my best Reggie impersonation. There you go with them facts again, Patrick. They go with them facts.
I'll take your Reggie impersonation and I'll see you. How in a ham sandwich can this young man throw 41 touchdowns and only 3 picks, and you're going to say he ain't shit? Get the fuck out of here with that.
Son, if you're going to say it, you got to say it with veracity there, son. You like it a little bit, son.
Yes, sir.
You got to follow
right
through. You got to let roll
shit.
Off the tongue.
Right.
Roll off the tongue,
that's
son.
Right. I'm talking about that. Well, when I refer to the boy that ain't shit, I'm talking about Dan Orlovsky. 2 wins, 10 losses, had a scrub career, and should have been thanking his Lord Jesus that he had a chance to play in the NFL, and he got the unadulterated gall and nerve to imply he knows the difference between somebody who can play and somebody who can't play. He wasn't as vicious as Milwaukee, but hold on, Gary. He wasn't as vicious as Milwaukee, but he did the same fucking thing. Because for every brother that's had their money messed with, there's been a white quarterback that ain't shit. That got picked in the draft and either made a token appearance on the field or did their rookie contract and got the fuck out of football because they had no business being in the first fucking place.
Michael, Dan Orlovsky speaking about quarterbacks is like the Pope saying his favorite position is doggy style. That's basically what's going on here. Forgive me, Father.
Yeah. Because I knew what I said.
And let's not discount the BYU factor.
Oh,
how many times
yes,
have
Lord.
BYU quarterbacks come into the mix with these bogus numbers? And I'm talking about Jim McMahon, Ty Detmer, Coy Detmer, Guilford Nielsen. How many of the motherfuckers came in here?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Put it this way. Mike, the Bosco Chocolate Factory even sued Robbie Bosco for using their name.
For real.
Thank you. Well, and the thing about I call Olasky the white boy genius for television, and because he can do the white boy genius and all the technical stuff with the laptops and the iPads about what goes on. Funny how he could do it when he played, but that's another story.
Patrick, when we were show prep another night, again, of all the quarterback like analysts or what have you here, you know, I'm no Troy Aikman fan, I'm no Steve Young fan, I'm no Phil Simms fan, I'm damn sure not a Boomer Esiason or Dan. Marino
hand. Oh God,
in the tradition of Sesame Street, who in the hell doesn't belong here in that group?
Thank you.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let the church say I on that one. He's doing the bidding. For again,
exactly.
the level of guys who have an agenda to get their particular client, or as we're related to basketball, we have runners in basketball to get information to teams about doing stuff. Well, he's the runner for the broadcasters that work with inches. Like he says, people around the league. What people around the league? What offices around the league? I mean,
yeah.
I know offices around the league.
I know what they do. Bunch of idiots from his hometown in Bridgeport, possibly. But that's all.
Hello.
Yeah. Patrick, the more and more I think about him, he's the Doug Gottlieb of NFL. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man, you done went bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Patrick, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Hey, but Patrick, how much money is Georgia losing overall with the Major League All-Star Game pulling out the
OP? Right now, it's close to 20 million. Right now.
See?
Is that all?
That's a lot. Hold on, wait a minute. If you look at net value, that's a lot, because All-Star Weekend is basically 3 days. Super Bowl is anywhere from 7 to 10 days of hype.
Well, see, that's
so there are not that many people in the city spending money at that time. By the time they've come in, they may come in time for one of the earlier ones, like the Home Run Derby thing. But there's really nothing they can generate off of that. So it's
a
weekend.
The thing is, other than World Series week, and remember, that's spread out amongst two cities, although last year had everything in Texas.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's basically the showcase, because usually either the week before or the week after – you have the Hall of Fame ceremonies as well.
Exactly.
So they try to, you know, they basically, that's their Super Bowl week in a sense. Because when the last Sunday night game is played that Sunday, they basically are in all-star mode, because they have the Home Run Derby thing on Tuesday. I think it's that. It actually starts on Sunday, because they usually have the rookie game.
Rookie of the year, yes.
They have a god-awful celebrity softball game, which is awful. and then, of course, you know, the Home Run Derby, they have the parades, and then, of course, it's culminated with the game. Matter of fact, they've taken the whole week now, because usually back in the day, they would start playing back that Thursday, but now they start back on that Friday, because they give now I don't know with this year, I think, I'm not sure if they've taken away the extra day this year, but this is their showcase.
I was working for the
A's.
It was a complete week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, but Patrick, explain to me, how in the Sam sandwich did the Anaheim fans get not one but two trash cans and throw them at the Astros? I'm like, that's the bacon can't fucking. That's the bacon can't fucking. Brother,
that guy's been waiting.
Hey, Rich,
you got to remember, they've been waiting a year.
Yeah,
2 years.
A year, basically. Yeah, you can imagine. So guys, you can imagine the stench of that trash, of those trash cans, too, by the way.
But how in the ham sandwich did they get them in there? That's what I want to know, Patrick. You got a stable trash can with beers in it, and then they hooked up a regular trash can. What the hell says? Let me tell you something.
There's more to come, because folks have been waiting for this for over a year.
Yes,
they
have
to do anything. They're gonna have to get some people alive.
Is Dusty gonna make it? Is Dusty gonna make the year?
But this way, the enemy of my enemy of my enemy is not Dusty.
Is my friend.
He doesn't know.
So what, Dusty was standing there watching players get their ass kicked?
Reggie, the LA Dodgers,
and don't forget Boston
Oakland A's,
too. Maybe he throws shit at Boston and Detroit.
New York Yankees. And those five teams are waiting for them to come.
Mike, I'm envisioning the can you dig it moment from the Warriors. Or in this case, can you throw it? I guess.
But dig this. You know, unfortunately, it's not a laughing matter that the brothers have to be subjected to this shit. There's nothing in Fields' category or his personal demeanor, aside from being off the football field, that would lend himself to this. Every year we've seen, and we used to joke about it, but there's some truth to this shit. Every year, scumbag like Mel Kiper or Todd McNugget, they get something. Who knows what it is under the table, and all of a sudden, Reggie Howell's moving up the charts. He's a guard out of Virginia Union, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. You know what happened.
Yep, they do that shit every year.
They cast a check. They cast a check.
Yep.
And they won't do
that
for the brothers because they don't really like us being there anyway. I mean, give Cam credit. He stood all that, and he held up big time, and he eventually became an MVP. Patrick Mahomes, they didn't know what to think of him. He looked like Dr. Zorba from Ben Casey with his frizzy hair, and he just came in there and rocked the league.
But what about your man from the Baltimore Ravens? Sorry, Professor.
First of all, he was too dark to rock the house. And then when he darked the house, he rocked the house. Oh, it's his black hands that make him so invisible that you can't see the ball. You know, are you fucking kidding me?
Excuse me, I'll go this way.
Yes.
Mike, I think Bill Withers has a lawsuit going pending with that, you know, with Grandma's hands as opposed to Lamar's.
Oh, you ain't lying. Grandma, Big Mama, all of them in there.
Hey,
if it's pleading the court.
Cool Mike off. So get that man some water. Cool Mike off.
If it pleads the court. Now I pass that.
And Mike, it's exactly what you're saying is the composite of why the Jets are picking second with the guy that looks like Ben Wilson. That's
there you
fact.
Go.
If you look
up. If it please the motherfucking court, we are tired with this bullshit. I charge the NFL, Mel Kiper, Todd McNugget, and all these wannabe agent motherfuckers with blasphemy and assholery in the first degree. And the charge is guilty, guilty, guilty.
Mike, I got to look up assholery. I'm on an assholery.
Reg, it just means I got to call Mr. Webster before I go to bed tonight again.
Y'all give me like Michael Jackson, man. Make up words like, good.
Yeah,
what the hell is that?
That's true.
What the hell is James Brown saying? What the hell is James saying?
I know
the professor is like, all this good language we're doing.
Mike, here's the flip side. Here's the composite. Let me give you a perfect example of the dichotomy of what this is positioned for the Jets. Let's take about last week what Hugh Jackson said about my Browns. And he said he cussed everybody out in the Browns about what happened. He was lying to you.
About time, you. Why are you waiting here?
He was promised a son and got a light bulb in the basement. Now,
there you go.
They had to lose all these games.
Cracker.
I heard that.
They had to lose all these games, right? And once they got the position to where they were able to get draft capital, you know, what let me know that something was up is when Baker Mayfield wasn't initially responding to Hugh Jackson and said, somebody,
come on.
I like that guy to do that. He must know something.
Come on.
Obviously, he got fired. Okay? So let's fast forward to here to 2021. All right?
You had to bring the brothers, GM, to clean everything up.
Thank you. Now, here's what happened now with the Jets. All right, they let you know it was a tuck and go whether they were going to keep Donald, but the plan was all laid out. They got what they wanted with Donald leaving. What they got was the Jets got for the next 2 years have 21 draft picks.
Wow!
For the next 2 years, they have
Bush better, they better not miss on half of them. They better hit on
they
them.
They got 7 picks.
Remember,
in the
this
next
is
two years in the first 2 rounds.
True.
In the first 2 rounds.
He said,
now,
this
is here's the trick. Here's the trick. You got all that. And here's what's worse.
Oh, God.
In 2015, they drafted Leonard Marsh, Leonard Williams, right? They let him go.
Right.
He was the Giants now.
Yep.
Made all pro last year. All right, and then
that's
18
right.
and 17, they drafted Jamal Adams.
Should've never let him
let
go.
Didn't want to pay
yep.
him. He's
let
all
him
pro.
Go. Yep.
Forced to trade.
Yep.
What? You want to? What?
Now,
you want to win? You want to win here in New York?
Yeah.
You?
There you go.
Get the fuck out of here.
So now they got Sam Donald now,
give
right?
Give T-Mac some water. Give him some water.
Hell, shut
calm that man down. Huh? Give him some water.
they got Donald going now, right? He's going. So they
yep.
have all the
oh,
21 picks. They have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds in the next 2 years. They're going to build their team around this kid. Now, first of all, there was somebody put a great line in the Daily News today. If this doesn't work within 2 years for Joe Douglas, he's toast. And he should be toast.
It's true.
Fried and laid out.
You know what? So,
yeah.
Right
Patrick,
there.
Patrick, Joe Nagy ain't coming through no time soon.
Patrick. I'm personally going to go buy I Can't Believe It's Not Butter right now for 2 years.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to get over to the Jeff facility because if with all the maneuvering he did to put this boy in that position, if he ain't,
yep.
if he ain't the SHIT, then a hedge is going to roll like water coming down
mm-hmm.
the river. Because
yeah.
because generally the team liked Donald. Guys really liked him. But they also knew that the things around him that just wasn't working for him to be consistent. Now he's going to count
right.
now with his boy, Robbie Anderson, who will throw them those deep passes and they'll be
that's right.
So that's what's gonna happen.
Yep.
But
that's gonna happen.
Situation,
Hey, Patrick,
that's
Patrick, everybody's so upset about the Nets losing to my Wizards in less than 6 seconds. I'm still in shock about that one.
Oh, please, man. They don't care.
So basically, Patrick, they just had to find a sucker, I mean soldier, to take Darnell their hands pretty much, right?
Yep. Yep, because also they're also afraid there are some teams who wanted that third besides the 49ers. You know,
oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they want him,
but they want particularly after Donald, they just wanted the spot. So if that's the mm-hmm. case,
yeah.
but the requests for him were getting smaller and smaller. So they said we can get while the taking is good. And that's
yeah,
what they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So guys, go ahead. I'm gonna throw this in the pot.
You know, for all the jokes we're making and whatnot, and I love the levity, but let's look at the reality behind all of this shit. Russell Wilson has won 107 games since he's been in the league. No other quarterback, white, black, Dominion stripe, Filipino midget has won as many.
Mm-hmm.
Have they ever said that Russell Wilson was an intelligent quarterback?
No.
No.
Jackson
no.
has
no.
rushed for more yards than any quarterback in a single season, and he did that in his
mm-hmm.
second year. In many ways, he is like Mike Vick. In many ways, he can be so many different things. He's gotten better every year he's played, and he's going forward. He's taking
yeah, it's one thing they're mad
what
about, though, Mike. It's
what,
one thing they're
what,
mad about,
what,
and that's who's on
but
his
they
own.
But see, they don't use intelligence about him either.
Patrick I know,
Mahomes
but Mike, I'm telling you, Mike.
Could, yeah,
it's one thing they're mad about
on
is who's
field.
On his own.
Yeah, but for all the stuff that Mahomes does, did they say he was intelligent? No. You know,
oh,
well, you know, you stupid them. Niggas, you can do all of that shit. You know, you can leap you can jump trains at a leaping bound and all this other old horse shit and hyperbole because they'll suck his dick to get an interview. But as soon as the failure factor comes in, they jump in with both feet. The media is not even pretending anymore. The media is just like society. It ain't got no filter. As soon
yep.
as they get the opportunity,
well here's
to
my
jump
question. You see what the 49ers
ass,
do?
They will do so with both feet.
But well, you see what Shanahan does with the 49ers with that pick.
Rich,
so he trying to
Rich,
do the same
right.
thing Kansas City's doing.
Reg, you're right. Because you know why? Here's the deal. The 49ers are going to have a second drill in Columbus, Pro Day, a second one with Justin Fields, yeah. And now get today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, now, with that question, who do you want, Matt Jones or Justin Fields?
I think Fields. That kid showing he can face some pain. He's shown
so,
that.
So we're ruling out Janine Garofalo in this mix, I guess.
We could give Jimmy Porn Star one more year to chase the porn stars, and then he's out of there.
I'm Reggie. I'm with you 100%. I'm not with these clowns. Well, if they bring in a quarterback, Justin Fields, he got to go. No, Justin, stay here and learn. Let Jimmy get
Let Jimmy get his stuff.
So you can see what you're
doing. Just like Mahomes. Just like Mahomes did.
Exactly.
And you got a team ready to go to the Super Bowl already without injuries. This team is ready to go.
But wait a minute, you know what? There's something else we got to consider, too. The front offices, when they make these choices. Now, Fred had nailed this shit on the head about Mitchell Trubisky's non-playing ass. But in spite of all of that, Chicago takes him. You know, he's their franchise quarterback when they could have Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the season, Mahomes comes in there and embarrasses the shit out of Chicago.
Potential gets you potentially ready to get fired. That's what potential gets you.
And Mike, they've even doubled down because Opie Cunningham is now their new quarterback.
Now think about that. So all of this comes into play, and nobody interviews the general manager to say, you know what, you could have taken Mahomes. Why did you take Trubisky? See, they don't want to hear that shit they'll get frozen out covering games if they're not working for
them. They don't want to get hot.
We're also going to be missing out on them possibly going, possibly them turning into the next Terrell Owens. That's my quarterback.
Oh, no doubt about it. That's how they're
going to
run this game.
Tony, you know something? I got that on film. I was in the locker room when that happened. But I have a different shot of that. What he was saying, most folks had the shot from up on top. I had the shot from him right under the podium where I was sitting while he was doing that. It's in the archives. I'm going, I'm saying, what is this nigga crying about? That's my quarterback.
That's his quarterback.
He's
still crying in football.
And Tony Romo didn't do shit for him when that boy fell bankrupt. Tony Romo was a kid's Mexican ass. I ain't giving you shit.
You wouldn't even give him a big ass pair of Skechers?
That's what I'm saying, man. And that kid was bankrupt, had no money, and Tony Romo nowhere to be found.
Done.
When Rome was on the sideline, Coach Ryan.
If front offices are so down to spend this kind of money on the guy who's supposed to be the linchpin that links everything, you know, why don't they get called out when they fuck up? I'm sorry, Matthew Stafford has been a failure for almost a dozen years.
Come on, Mike, you know the answer to that.
You have a guy in here right now, Mr. Jones. He's not going to come to no more games. But you know what? It still comes down to personnel. Now, I make fun of Andy Reid and his pasty cake, cheesesteak eating ass. But you know what? When he saw Patrick Mahomes, he said, this boy is the truth.
Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And did it work? I mean, and let's give him credit. He chose Donovan McNabb,
he's
the fucking mayor of the city, wanted a fucking running back, Ricky Williams, to be the selection. So Andy was right.
Indeed.
I give him his props for that shit. But for every Andy Reid, you got other coaches who will take somebody because they're white and say, oh, we got to illuminate this kid. He needs players around. He's got a player himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, guys, the factor of, like I said before, who looks good on the cover of the magazine that we're selling by the team?
Of course.
Who's
hello. That's right.
York.
Say that shit.
I tell you, it's the owner. You got that right. And it takes an owner, like the owner of Baltimore, and having a guy like Harbaugh saying, telling the owner, look, this guy has something special that can do something special with his team to make us a winner.
Yeah.
So do
hey, hey, right hey, don't forget Ozzie Newsom now. Ozzie was in there too, make them pick.
So they don't care if he's on winning the MVP with an orange suit and a purple shirt and braids sticking out like Alfalfa and Farina. They don't care because he know that team is winning.
Yeah.
Remember, I leave this as my one statement. Remember the ESPN cover with Mike Vick as a white guy.
Yeah,
they bleached him out.
Mm-hmm.
That magazine, we've seen that before.
Ain't nothing new.
It sold more magazines than ESPN has sold in a long time. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He can run. He can throw. He's white. Oh my God. Yes. You know, we mm-hmm. can forget the dog if Mike Vick was white. Please, you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they say mm-hmm. the same about Steve Young. They say Steve Young is so athletic. Look how he
yep.
used to run with the ball back in the day.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Wait. And Reggie, let's go back further than that. There's no
Uh-oh.
Quarterback that ran more than Fran Tarkenton.
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody say anything about that?
Mr. Tim.
Don't get me started, man.
Never.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yet these black quarterbacks. But, hey, Patrick, real quick, man. Now, the NCAA, the family made it with the men and women. The disaster, what the women went through, was bullshit down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, when the hell did we get rid of
that
so-called clown that's the head of the NCAA?
Bullshit, oh, they ain't. Well, you know why? Because he does the bidding for all the team presidents or all the school presidents.
Damn.
And the corporate entities that run the NCAA, just like our boy does for the NFL.
Yeah.
You know? But believe me, the greater concern of what the president has to worry about now, again, is the growing and substantial influence of college students expressing their discomfort of what's going on with the NCAA. Guys, I've been reading stuff. I was in contact with somebody in the last week, one of the players from Rutgers. And by the way, Rutgers lost four of their players for a transfer portal. I don't know why. Where are they going? Anyway, that's another story.
They followed the money.
What money? Abel Wollenberg for the pros, and he didn't declare fully anyway because he's Ron Harper's son. He ain't ready to the pros either.
Mm.
But that's another story. But the point is, college students are taking a grip on what they want. The upcoming months, with things that these students have put forth and platforms they've established with these colleges about what should be going on, and also in particular with the aspect of social movements and media and expressing what they want, there's stuff that's going to be happening in the very near future with these colleges.
Yeah. Put it this way,
Reggie. Mark Emmert won't have to go anywhere. The situation's moving. No, seriously. The situation's playing it up. Will make him obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
NCAA. Look, we've been talking about this for a while. The NCAA does not have long for this world because these other conferences see all this stuff and they realize what can be done out there. There may be a death knell even before that whole Supreme Court thing. The Supreme Court thing
mm-hmm.
may just wind up being, you know, the icing on
mm-hmm.
the cake. Because, look, at some point, it's not so much. You know, and see, here's the thing, you know, when you know you had some of these folks bring up the antitrust thing with baseball after they did the whole thing with down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they can't, you know, they can't do that with the colleges. But see, that's going to be to the players and the female, male and females' credit because they're not going to
mm-hmm.
have an antitrust to fall back on.
True.
Patrick, what about these COVID shots? That's what I want to know. Who's paying for these COVID shots for these players getting before some senior citizens?
Most of them schools, they put their own money. If they're part of the five families, Some booster is giving them the booster, for lack of a
better. We got the boost shot already.
Yeah, they can do boosters. They actually get booster
shots. I'm sorry. Hey, a payroll must be met. How dumb of me. I forgot.
No, a payroll must be met. You're half right. Payrolls.
Let me tell you, I try to follow up with it, T.
No problem. No, nice, tasty rolls. Matter of fact, I think I need to go get me another thing if I can't believe it's butter, now that I think about it.
Let me add this to that, Reggie.
Oh, God.
Did you see the ratings of women and college basketball this weekend? They were tremendous.
Yes, they went through
the women's game. Even though the sisters didn't play,
coach each other in the finals, I was pulling for my left guy.
But the point is, both leagues, both entities went through the season with all had to go through to present outstanding games. And if you don't think that the NCAA is happy that the amount of money that they make to help compensate for some of what they had done last year, please.
That's right.
And on top of that, the betting went through the roof, particularly after the loss. I'm glad Patrick mentioned that in the fall.
Explain that to me, Patrick.
Yeah.
You got four teams in the championship for the ladies, and you leave Arizona out? Really? Who proofread that?
Again,
but you
that
know
goes
what?
Back to
Patrick,
stuff
then,
that,
we got don't ignore what Patrick said. The gambling action on women's basketball was through the roof.
Quake.
They've never been on women's basketball like that before.
Yeah, I know. But my question is, how in the ham sandwich did they leave Arizona out and the promotion with four teams?
Reggie, I'll say the one word.
They weren't designed to be there in the first place.
That's the first thing. It's just ignorance.
It's just ignorance.
See, look, this was supposed to have been South Carolina versus UConn.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
That's what they wanted. How did that happen that they left Arizona out? Reggie, here's the bottom line with that. Their head has rolled this week in the NCAA because of the mistakes they made on women's basketball, particularly highlighted by the type of games that they have in the semifinals and the finals. You don't think that's going to happen? Heads are rolling, have already rolled. Because it made the NCAA emphasis people look inadequate, particularly how they
Mike, one of the reasons why I've been semi-quiet tonight is because we're still under martial law down here in Connecticut. They still can't be for the fact that they
I believe that.
Put it this way. I I never thought I could just go through one bag of chips for a whole week. That's a new black bear in Boston.
This is actually what the Pimp Cartel wants. This is what the Pimp Cartel wants. They want the betting field to be bigger. Remember, the women's field was relegated to some set teams. Tennessee, Stanford, Notre Dame, UConn, now South Carolina is in the mix. There were only a few places where they knew women's basketball was going to matter. Now, thanks to the betting,
Stanford
teams matter. All monies matter. That's what this shit is about.
Russell Wilson jumped down for his kid's sister that did pretty good.
That's it.
She came back off her injury.
Today, and Mike, what they did today in the budget of the New York budget today that they have to ratify, New York mobile sports betting is on the docket.
Why should everybody else make money?
They've been waiting for this. All the stuff I do as a croupier and dealer, New York was getting pushed off by everybody. New Jersey was holding them, kicking and screaming because they didn't want New York taking that action. I can tell you right now, New York could go public right now and have poker rooms in every major hotel in downtown Manhattan, and they would be filled immediately. You got underground gambling in Chinatown. You got poker clubs and at least three places on the east side, 28th Street, 61st, where Alex Rodriguez and them got robbed.
all that kind of shit has been underground for the longest time.
Yep.
As soon as they legitimize
that's
it,
why
it's
underground.
A whole new revenue stream that comes in.
Mike, I don't want to say that the betting has been whatever, but you know my buddy Jimmy the Finger.
No.
He actually bought me some Krispy Kremes this week. Out of the goodness of his heart.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, you better check them donuts, T. It might be laced or something. You better check
them. No. I'm still
New York.
Look, Mike, I see them pink elephants every night. I'm used to it now. It's
that's right. Listen, if New York had gambling when the Super Bowl was there during that time when Seattle won, you could have talked about over $1.5 billion in revenue.
They had gambling just
underground
to care. They had gambling.
From the action. Forget about some. For many of them, they would have said, "Fuck the game." They wanted to come to New York for the action, and that's
there
no joke.
Yeah.
It really is a big deal.
And Mike, not to get too political, but what better timing to get everyone's mind off of the serial butt on Mr. Cuomo than to do the
governor. That's right.
No, you're right. Put it this way. Mike. Put it this way. The phrase grabbing a bundle has taken on different meaning in New York.
You got that shit right. People don't care. They would say, what about Cuomo? Fuck Cuomo. I'm gambling. You know, that's their mindset. They would be too busy into the action. And never mind all the little side things like the horse tracks and everything else that would be going on. If New York gets this in, New Jersey, I won't say they get knocked out the box, but there's a lot of revenue that ain't coming down that way because they don't have to.
They can go out there in Queens.
They can take the subway anywhere to a big hotel and find out which night is poker night. Stay in. Simple.
Mike, and you know as much as I do, but I will say this. Jersey prepared for it way before anybody did. I'm not saying New York will not do well. But Jersey has places, what they haven't done, like New York has done, well, people have to watch the piece. I tell you, go look up CBS. CBS is Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning with Brent Musburger and the kind of places that they have that look like stadiums, but they're all betting facilities laid out with television.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Those facilities have to be built.
Jersey has to jump on this.
Patrick, just one thing. Do they have white women there telling you to make it rain there too?
Yes.
Count me out.
Jersey lucked up, and they fought off this for a long time. They were, in all likelihood, they were paying New York politicians to not push for gambling because now they have their foundations firmly ensconced. They got Xanadu in northern New Jersey. They got Monmouth Racetrack in central New Jersey, and they got AC down south.
They need to enjoy their empire while they can because eventually it's going to happen with Philly. Eventually it's going to happen. Well, I guess Delaware is actually
Philly,
where this
Philly
all
got
things started.
Philly got it already.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. The thing that set Jersey apart is that remember, they caught up and eclipsed Vegas in less than a year.
Because all the population is dead. You get people from New York, Baltimore, Washington, Philadelphia,
Pennsylvania. They got them old hustlers running that shit in Jersey.
Mike, this is what you have to, again, I want to emphasize. You just can't go place a bet at a racetrack. They offer facilities being put together. They have one here close to me in Bayonne, New Jersey. It's called Tim O'Toole. Tim O'Toole was announcer for Signal Basketball, but he's an entrepreneur of restaurants across the state. He has a place where it's a nice restaurant, but in the middle of it, it's a place like, much like I said, that Brent Musburger has, where folks can put online. There's like 100 screens So you can have your dinner and go bet right afterwards. That's going to be the place where folks will go to.
They had the OTB offices specifically in Manhattan, South and 53rd and 2nd Avenue, where you can have a sit-down full meal and bet all the tracks, get all the action you want, whatnot. I've actually sat down a couple of times in those places, so I know South Jersey had laid out the same thing even before they got the word that they were going to go legal.
That's right.
So if New York does this,
they got like three up here.
And the thing about it is, guys, these are new. This is all new money because a lot of the old time folks, they just want to deal with horse racing. They'll dabble in certain sports, but their thing is horse racing. See, these youngins, especially when you throw in the internet and all the other things that go with it, look, remember the scene in The Running Man?
Mm. Yes.
That's just passe. I mean, this way, Grandma and Aunt Louise are betting on the cute white guy.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Tony, you're right in here, Tony. The demographics from not 24, 18 to 34.
Yes.
Not 20, 18 to 34, because they put away for the NFL. You know, I had explained something to my nephew recently. He said, "Uncle, I'm tired of watching sports, and all they're doing is talking about the quarterback." I said, "Let me have you understand something. They're preparing you for what's going to happen 6 months from now. To where your appetite would be uncontrollable. To forget the sheets. Let's go to FanDuel or let's go to whomever you got to go
that's
to.
Right.
Or the various places you go to bet."
Mm-hmm. I've been watching all the baseball this week, from opening day until on. Man, I can't. Every third commercial. Commercial, and see, it's all locally. You watch the White Sox; it's got something going on down there. You watch the Rockies; they got something going on down there. Let alone New York and Philly and all the whatever.
You know what, Tony? I truly feel for Pete Rose because he's been on baseball games. Fuck yeah! But how can you talk about him in one out of one side of your mouth? And you got billboard ads coming across the TV screens from fucking casinos.
Kirk Blood should be Hall of Fame.
Guys,
I'm watching the Rockies and the Diamondbacks as we speak. Don't judge. But I see dead center field, FanDuel, on the side.
Okay.
Of course. Guaranteedbet.com.
They fool around.
Of course.
And remember, they wormed their way through fantasy football into this so they could legitimize themselves and clean the dirty money up. Where's the draft supposed to be this year? The football draft.
It's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cleveland, you got casinos on. You got casinos on the lake there, so there ain't gonna be no mistake by the lake this time. They're gonna get paid, regardless of who they take. That's what's really gonna happen.
Isn't it slated for Vegas next year?
Yep. That's the three cherries and get all the ding 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 ding. That's exactly right.
They're not even playing around anymore. Mike, I want to hit on something that Reggie was talking about concerning the All-Star Game moving to Denver. I was part of the NFL office work with whenever the NFL has an All-Star Game, the local teams like the Nets or the Knicks get involved in the process in preparation for that game starting the day after the last All-Star game prior to coming to the city. So if losing $200 million is a lot of money, but it lost more than $200 million. It lost potential of other jobs and other economic platforms along with that that could get
exactly.
that money. So
yes.
the planning of that, for instance, when they did the Super Bowl in Jersey, they stopped playing for the Super Bowl in Jersey 2 years before it got
right.
here. I was
that's right. That's exactly right.
Some stuff that I did for them, I still couldn't do. That's necessary. But
yep.
that's how they're working. Now, taking that away from Atlanta with all that they have going, it's going to have an effect on that entity in that state more than what you think. Now, the planning is the thing that you really have to deal with. And that folks they just did it over the week. No, they took them a while to do that.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, it is the ultimate in ancillary revenue that we're talking about. Back in the days when there was no gambling, you know, you take that weekend charter, whether it's bus or plane or train, you
mm-hmm.
go to see the Eagles play the Colts or somebody like that was local.
Mm-hmm.
You had your hotel. You had your meals. You maybe had nightlife if you wanted all of that. This is this on steroids because now
mm-hmm.
you can do all of that and make a bet. And whether it's a prop
mm-hmm.
bet or a hardcore bet, the gambling
That's
bugs,
right.
they ain't enough rate to kill the gambling bugs in this situation. They're all going to be out there sprawling and spreading.
Matter of fact, Mike, the gambling bug could actually retire and make some bets while he's retiring.
There
mm-hmm.
you go. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about. That's the kind of money we're talking about. The ancillary revenue is the answer here. And the question was, how the fuck could Georgia fuck it up for themselves? Because remember, this is Georgia's doing. You can't blame Major League Baseball for this shit. Nobody told you to make these antediluvian laws regarding
exposure
shit and make people count the number of bubbles in a fucking bar of soap. You did this. This was a self-inflicted wound.
No, he didn't. Daddy Trump told him to do that, man. Daddy boy told him to do that.
Hey, Patrick, what about the marijuana in these different states? How is that going to help the revenue as far as, you know, coming up with the marijuana?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Fast.
Remember, guys, Colorado made about $50 million Colorado made about $50 million the first month that they made it legal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's going to be at the All-Star Game
in Colorado.
Improved,
the roads were all built and whatnot. They got paid.
Them dispensers are going to be packed from the
mm-hmm.
All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the ultimate contact, basically, I guess, coming up on your
A quick question for you, Reg, and I don't know if Fred's on the line. But what's been the reaction to have Hubert Davis as next North Carolina coach?
I'm still upset that they didn't at least interview my man at North Carolina Central. And it'd have been nice if they had interviewed him. I'm not trying to steal Stephen A. Smith thunder, but I thought they should have went outside the family. And I wasn't pleased with it. And I think he could be in for a rude awakening because if he don't make it to the final eight or either the final four, his ass can be out there in 2 or 3 years. It's that.
But Reggie, you know the NCAA. Look, we know the NCAA. We know what they want. We know, and that's why they didn't get interviewed.
When I first heard that they hired him, I can't help but the first thing that came to my mind was Kevin Ollie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Ollie. Because, see, what's going to happen is, now, let's just say, for shits and giggles, Carolina gets to the Final Four next year. You know
mm-hmm.
what they're going to say? Oh, he won with Roy's kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then...
Mm-hmm. And if he loses, he can't coach.
Now, put this way.
Very good, Jerry.
I give Carolina this much. Considering who they brought in and Dean Smith left, Guthridge,
Doherty,
Williams, Davis, all in the family. So they were
mm-hmm.
consistent in that instance. Now, will they allow? Now, you do get the feeling that this was sort of Roy's handpicked guy, similar to Ali being handpicked by Calhoun here in Connecticut.
Yeah, 9 years.
Let's put it this way. I hope they allow him to coach, but knowing knowing all the things down there that, that happened down in Tahoe.
Tobacco Row. Yeah, Tobacco Row.
Yeah. Hubert Davis, Hubert Davis, that Tar Heel might be replaced by a damn Target instead of.
And
I'm not talking about the store either.
Tony, it all boils down to this. He better win.
And I
understand the profile because you know something. It's now an established profile of Indiana, Michigan, now North Carolina, who played in the NFL, played in the NBA, who had to catch up in the NBA to get them to understand what it means to play at a school of that nature that has a history and tradition, and also someone who plays in the league to get you prepared for you if you want to go that way. That has a tremendous draw to a particular group.
Patrick, dare we say it? The Juwan Howard effect?
That's it.
Yeah, that's right. The brother proving a coach.
Indiana.
Very same thing that was being said about Hubert Davis right now. It's the very same thing that they said about Juwan Howard. So,
But Hubert Davis has been there 9 years, and so which unfortunately is a drawback for my alma mater, because we had a coach who's dealing with 1- and 2-star players who thinks he can make them superstars and can't recruit. But Michigan, Indiana, North Carolina, and now with 2 other spots open in Arizona, the other Miller brothers out in Arizona, they're looking to bring somebody in that like Damon Stoudemire to coach Arizona with his NBA background and coaching at the University of Pacific. So that's a pattern that can have a big impact on the program.
What do you think of a lot of these guys transferring to Pohol going to mid-majors? You don't see a lot of them guys going to the big schools because really the mid-majors, they got a better shot at jumping in there and also filling in.
And not getting washed out. Playing time.
You got guys from Virginia Tech leaving going to mid-major. That tell you what's going on right there.
You all
have taken such a nice approach on this.
I'm gonna do my darnest
to be as diplomatic as I possibly can.
No,
remember,
don't do it.
Nah.
David, don't do it now.
First and foremost, the whole Carolina facade that y'all see is pure BS anyway. Okay.
Here we go.
This boy, think the world of him. That's Walter Davis's nephew. Carolina Stanley, Carolina Mafia. This boy was bought in 9 years ago for this.
Yes, 9 years. Mm-hmm.
9 years ago. This was part
of another North Carolina, Hubie Brown.
Yes. Worse than that, we don't know what he can do. The only thing he's ever done would be an assistant. Personally, I wish him well. But remember, Carolina fans turned on the white boy.
Yes, he did, Darty.
Mm-hmm.
He,
which one?
William
turned the job down.
They called him Fredo.
One of the things, you know, Roy had to put up some walls and stuff. And so, okay, if I'm coming back, it's going to be my program. I'm not Coach Smith. I'm not Coach Guthrie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Coach Doherty. I'm Coach Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the problem that Doherty had was everybody would say, "Well, he don't do it like Coach Smith. We may need to bring Coach Smith can't come back. Let's bring Coach Guthrie back. Coach Guthrie."
We done heard that before.
You know, and you know, you all been around enough to know that some guys are great coordinators in football.
Yep.
And not head coaches. There's some good, some guys. There's guys who can run a practice like you won't believe.
Mm-hmm.
They can't run. They cannot run. They can't run a game. Okay. That was Guthridge's problem. Guthridge was not the final decision kind of guy. I mean, I could give you a whole litany of people that I know who were great assistant football and basketball coaches who were not head coaches. And the worst thing that happened was they got a job as the head coach. You could not find a replacement for themselves as an assistant. But, you know, they're making a bigger deal out of this than what it is because, I mean, like I said, he got to, you know, we see that his pro career, all that kind of stuff. Fine. I'll give one of Reggie's best friends, Neem, out there, tell you about that whole thing about being good in the pros. Neon Deion?
Yeah.
He has to duplicate himself on the court, but he cannot go on the court and do anything he wants to do. He has to educate his player, get his coaches squared away and all that kind of thing. Because, I mean, he's already called one way because he – one of the kids that was a starting point guard, first person that we know he's gonna be on the staff next year. I don't know who else he's gonna get rid of, but I'm sure he's gonna bring some of his own flavor. And remember, the brother that sits on the big dark skinned brother that sits on the bench.
Yep. With the glasses.
Mm-hmm. Been with Roy except for 3 years. He tried to be a head coach.
He's been on
Roy's bench 27 years, going back to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a white guy been over there for years. And they tried to talk. They tried to say they won't bring that kid in from UNCG for an interview. I'm sure that didn't go too far. But, you know, Davis has been groomed to be the next coach for the last 9 years. Now we're going to see what he's going to do with it. But, everybody they talked to about it pretty much was all in favor with most people they talked to are Carolina fans in the first place. So, I ain't really heard none of the real rednecks say nothing, but they probably didn't run their interviews because their people, I mean, Carolina as a state institution, Carolina has one of the worst records for hiring of blacks as coaches.
Period. Come on.
And then you're talking about head coaches. They've had three others. I don't know what they were coaching for the coaching because I know they had a track coach there for God knows how long and a wrestling coach. None of them were black. I don't know. I know they don't have they've never had a black lacrosse coach. My nephew hadn't looked that up because he's a lacrosse player. And that's one thing you
said. Fred Reg, let me ask you this question. So it's your next line. What did it mean when Coach Williams says, I'm leaving because I'm not the right coach for this team at this time?
He's lost touch with his players. Listen, about 3 or 4 years ago, Roy is one of them emotional white boys who had limited – he had what I call the Bobby Knight syndrome. His worst fear was a player who was better than him didn't perform at his best.
Mm.
About 4 or 5 years ago, Roy made a mistake on the court, and he said to one of his players, not to Roy, but to one of his players, but Roy heard him, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the player, he kind of slapped that and went on. Roy spent 5 minutes in a post-game interview in the post meeting talking about, my bad, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. I don't know where he found that. Okay, all them brothers on the team, he don't know what my bad means. All them teenagers on his team, he don't know what my bad. He had lost touch with his players. That's as nice as I can say it. In other colloquial things that you say, you work around young people, so you know they always say it's, they have their own set of slang, but we had ours. Mm-hmm. I guess people didn't understand that either. But you can't diss players and see. Recruiting wise, The team he had that year wasn't that good. He's the mound. And he got two of them talking about they going to the pros. My question is, how you going to the pros? How you going to make it in the pros? And he couldn't even make it from the team here.
At a college level.
And see, and it finally, like, you know, we know it finally caught up with Duke this year because the pool of players has been reduced because the style of play you want to play and what it takes to win ain't there no more. You know, you can't have them. I mean, as nice as I can say this, you can't play for so many of them big white boys no more. I mean, Gonzaga got away with it for a while.
Until they played Baylor.
When they played Baylor, they paid. You know, like I said, you know, go back, you want to see what it looked like, go back and watch the 1967 game with Earl Moreau and those guys won the national championship. They literally ran them off the court. All they only played, I think they scored, what, 77 to 74? But still, I'm sure the little bit of the game that I did see, I'll sit down and watch it one day this week or next week. But you know, the little bit that I did watch, the thing that I noticed most of all is one, Baylor could run with you. Well, they don't have a big man in the middle. As one of my boys would say, yeah, and Gonzaga didn't have one there either because they beat him down the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to have court, and they run into his spot making a layup.
And the great part about that with Baylor, you know, doing the segue into what Baylor did, they have. But really, one of the reasons I admire that team so much is three guys, two of them could have left for pros last year. They said, we come back to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And it made a difference. And also, it improved their draft status. Someone like Fred just mentioned, two players in North Carolina who ain't even starting want to go pro. To do what?
That's right.
There's mm-hmm. too many players, too many guys out here who actually think that they're better than what they are. I saw a clip of Beal of Washington talking to some high school kids. I mean, it was prophetic. He said, and this is basically what he said. He said, you guys talk about you want to be pro ball players. He said, you know, you guys don't know what the grind is. You know what the dog is. He said, eventually you want to play pro ball, you got to play against me. So if you play against me, I got a mother, a father, and brother to take care of. They got to eat. Now, what's going to happen? You beat me or them not eating. What do you think is going to happen to you?
Come on.
You ain't got to
come on. That's right. Tell them the real story. That's right.
Said,
that's true.
He said, you ain't got a chance. He said, you got to get your game together. If you want to do this, you got to get up at 6 o'clock and run when your boy's home sleeping because they're up to a party, and you got to get up. If you want to do that, you ain't
going right.
to play. First of all, you can't play against me. You'll never beat me because I'm too hungry. They're going to play you not to play, or they're going to say bye because you ain't taking my job. And that's what
there
they
you go.
Hear.
Throw in the fact that most of them don't even know the game.
That's true too.
True.
Because
true.
Because
but you know what, Fred? Having said that, North Carolina has to worry about the fear of the one and done syndrome. Because that's what that snake Calipari did. He told people, all right, you're in here, we out, next crop. You know, I don't want Davis to get caught up in that same madness.
Well, being that he is at a Power 5 school, I'm not sure how affordable it is because I see I watched the big kid from, I think, Iowa, 55. I don't know nothing about that boy, but I don't think his parents saw that poke. They might
exactly.
Be, but,
well, right.
But think about it. Christian Leitner? Remember him? You know, Leitner could have gone out early. He enjoyed playing college ball. And at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I don't say his parents were filthy rich, but, I mean, they had money. Eric Montrose, you know, his dad, he's still playing because his dad was an attorney.
Right.
And, you know, these are guys who stayed 4 years on them, although I still don't think they had, that Montrose had going for him when he went to the pros when he was 7 feet tall, played for
Dean
Smith, and was white.
He played with the Nets 1 year and I was there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he probably practiced with them more than he played.
Yeah.
But that's
and got paid about $2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took, you know, and see, he's on the broadcast team now, so, you know, he's set as long as he wants to stay there. But, you know.
Guys, if we can get to our last segment real quick. Tiger Woods, they said why he was doing what he was doing when he was under the influence, if he was under the influence. I don't know because they're trying to excuse the fact that he was driving 85 in an area where he should have been driving 45. Now, who's zooming who in the midst of all of this? What are they not saying?
They want them cars to sell. Like that black box don't want to reveal the wrong thing.
That one sheriff makes Sheriff Lobo look like freaking Barney Fife at this point.
Oh, shit.
They were intent on trying to make that the French Connection.
They were trying to say there was going to be some serious shit coming down the pike, and then all of a sudden, cricket. I'm sure even the
Tony,
crickets know more than the press does that night, but I digress.
Might just what happened. The other sheriff that was in charge, he had to go because he's with the guys that exposed the information. So they had to get somebody who sounded like Barney Fife.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe's wife gonna sue them, their mama, their children, and their children's children.
The quote, the first Prince of Bel-Air went on the field said, "I'm gonna make sure we sue your grandchildren."
Mm-hmm. Before we get the final thoughts, I want to say that next week. My little sister Rhonda, who is in the motherland right now, she contacted me from South Africa. She's going to be on the show, and she's going to fill in the blanks for us. And we've been noticing her efforts with Africa Surf. We are so proud of her. Sis, I don't know what time it is where you are, but we got you. And next Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern, she's going to take care of the show, and she's running this like we know she can. So. Gentlemen,
yes, sir.
Final thought as we step out. Patrick, you last in, you first out. Give us something for the pot.
Oh, what's your brother got with last in, first out? Okay.
Go ahead, Newt.
Before, UCLA went in on those back-to-back-to-back championships. Loyola Chicago won the national championship of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a guy named Lewis Williamson is going to do a film about that that team,
right on.
and what it meant, and particularly with the advent of some of the things that the team has done in the last 3 years, which has been good for the university. It's of particular interest to me because I was a kid at the time, and the guy that went to high school with my brother, named Harry Laurie, who was a tremendous athlete. Here in Jersey City, he was a quarterback, brother playing quarterback on a team that was largely Jewish and Italian. Plus, he was an outstanding basketball player. Well, he was all-state, all-kind as an athlete, and he went to Loyola Chicago in 1963, but left to come back in 64 and missed out being on the championship team. I'm particularly interested in how this film comes out. But I'll let you know more about it because I think it's of a lot of great interest of what basketball was back in the late 60s. And lastly, keep this in mind. When they say basketball players or athletes should go shut up, keep this in mind. LeBron James has 49,500,000 Twitter followers. Have a nice day.
Ching ching. So you said the cash cow move.
that damn iguana again.
That's green pastures right there. That's all I can say. Reggie, come on, throw something this time.
You know, it's amazing seeing all these police officers doing their analysis of how the individual, I'm not going to mention his name, committed murder. But yet, when a certain president, 44, had a chance to do more than just a dissent decree, he got cold feet. Now, I know there I go again, poking at a man who loves Ronald Reagan as his favorite president. But
come
it's
on.
Interesting, again, that this man had a Boston hand but decided to play ball when he had the House and Senate. And it's a damn shame now the white man doing more for black folks. And, by the way, Virginia had that governor debate, and Justin Fairfax told Terry the slick-ass McCullen, we don't need you here in so many words, and had two females jump his ass. One lady, Ms. Ford, is a graduate of VMI. In that first crash, and she told him point blank, when we were trying to get the guns off the street, you made a backdoor deal with the gun lobbies. And Jim McCord told him the same thing. And here's Terry McCullen. Well, you backed me on the bill, too. White privilege is at an all-time high. Just food for thought.
There you go. As always, good food for thought. Professor, throw something in the pot. Sorry about Sam Darnold because, well, like you said, there ain't no football in Carolina, but I digress.
Oh, there's football. High school. College. Okay. I mean, we actually have, one of the biggest trivia questions in the world was who played in the 1942 Rose Bowl. And one of the schools that played in it was Duke. Who won? The other school.
Wow.
Because Duke was about education, not about football. Mm-hmm. And it was played at Wallace Wade Stadium. But anyway, things are moving along crisply. I didn't realize how much work was involved. I thought I'd realize how much work was involved. But apparently I shot a little low and there's a heck of a lot more to do and to get done. But, you know, all these things are coming together, and it's all about telling our story. You know,
yes, sir.
You see these young boys and some young ladies going back to HBCUs and looking at HBCUs, and as I told some people on another show a few days ago, one of the biggest problems about, you know, right now this whole thing with Coach Prime – ain't about football at all. It's about recognition and knowing what the true story is. Because, you know, think about it. Jackson State has more guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame than most schools in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Yep.
You know, so, well, not Louisiana because, as we well know, we have across the Mississippi to Louisiana, you have one Grambling State University. Who set the pace? But you know, recently I was listening to this one guy was talking on the Jackson State, and so you know, they were basically refuting something Coach Prime said about the greatest team of all time. It can't be. But remember, 1974, you had three Hall of Famers on one team.
That's right.
Called Jackson State. Mm.
Yeah.
And they'd already produced a Hall of Famers prior to that. But anyway, we're getting the story of women's basketball. I got back on writing profiles again today. We had some administrative things that we had to get worked out. And, you know, the books are selling, so we actually can afford to get books out, take time to get books out. And I'm getting ready to hire somebody because I can't do all this work myself. Anyway, you want to take care?
I know that's right.
You can hit me up at blackheritagereview.com. The Sports Encyclopedia is right there.
All right.
Right there. Hey, Mike, I want to send my condolences out to Representative Al Hastings, who went to Florida A&M back in 1963.
Al Hastings,
God bless him. And also a Howard alum. And Fisk University.
Mike, one of since Reggie's on there talking, you know, to show you how important it is for us to tell our own story, I was reading a story about Virginia Union today, and, you know, to be honest, since he retired, I actually love White Shadow. But they were talking about White Shadow being Coach Robbins being the first white coach at a black institution. And, he and I have discussed this. You know, 30 years before Coach White Shadow became the coach at Virginia Union, 30 years before he became coach, Chester Stackhouse was a head, was a white man who became the head coach at Lincoln University. So, you know, we're in the pre and post ESPN days.
Yes,
and unfortunately, you know, they think whatever ESPN says is true, and that just not true. You know, I'm going to address this.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Mike,
let me tell you something, Mike, just to let you know, they showed that Jackson State game Sunday 3 times already on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Good. There's a reason why they're doing that.
He's definitely a lightning rod. He's a lightning rod for sure. I just went in to catch fire and spread that good shit all through the HBCU universe. If he does that, then that's the desired effect for me. You know, and I got no skin in the game, but I do have family that have gone to HBCU, so I know what good effect it can produce. Now, if that happens between this and the new laws regarding so-called student-athletes as the NCAA tries to change their pimp game to try to still screw them kids, It's almost like a perfect storm happening. And I want to see what happens when we turn the page with this. So, you know, we can feel what we feel about Coach Prime, but if he's keeping the spotlight hot, there's possibilities there that far outweigh any liabilities in my humble.
I try to believe that myself.
Whoa. I know, hey, that's high praise for
Professor. But I digress. That's okay. www.blackheritagereview, my books, T-shirts, the Black Sports Encyclopedia, always good stuff to have on the nightstand, on the night table. Reading is fundamental. Big G, come on in here and drop something in the pot.
There's a young man, 6'5", 210 pounds, from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes.
He got drafted by this team in 2018, 22nd pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He refused left. Nobody knows who he is.
I know who
Why? His name is DeAndre Miller. Defenseman for the New York Rangers, number 79.
There you go.
I watched DeAndre Miller play last night. His brother is for real.
Another gold brother.
If the New York Rangers are going to play, he will improve the team. The question is, will the Rangers let him play?
That's right. It is a good question. They had Anthony Duclair, and they didn't even keep him for a year. Now, he's been bounced around the league, but he can score goals. And as long as you can score goals, you will stay on ice. So I'm with you on that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There we go. Saturday at 1. The Music Box, 4 o'clock on Sunday, we have Lionel Richie against...
Hello?
My man.
Hello? All right. We like that. Lionel and Kenny T.
Gary, Mike, have you guys poked at the verses between the Earth, Wind & Fire and the Acid Brothers that they probably put out this week?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hey, Michael, I hate to tell you this, but people are copying our stuff.
I know.
No.
really, Gary, we'll be going through this again, Gary? Tell something we don't know.
Can't make me believe that.
Mm-hmm. The general, come on now. The Isaac Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah, they're copying you.
We did Ozzy Brothers at Earth, Wind, and Fire last year. So you
I rest my case.
There you go.
I rest my case.
T-Mac, put something in the pot.
While we're on this whole HBCU vibe, coming up in, I had it all written down here. Coming up in Montgomery, Alabama, from April 28th. To May the 1st, it will be the inaugural Black College World Series. This will include small division schools, including NAIA schools, Division II, and what have you. And it will feature eight teams made up of four from the NCAA's Division II conferences and four teams from NAIA schools. And these schools will associate and constitute the small school division. And
they're going to play around
Robin. Drop baseball.
Just something. But you know, but see, you know, maybe something like this can revive. I believe as of right now, I think all the games are supposed to be on the net either by audio or video.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still it's still being worked on. But yeah. It's an awful nice thing to see, you know. I'm more let's put it this way, I'm more uplifted by that as opposed to you know, H-Rap Manfred's thing of kicking the thing out of Atlanta. But no, it's good.
I like that. A World Series, that's a good thing. I want to see kids run home to see them play that. But having said that. As we close out, a reminder that next Wednesday, our little sister Rhonda Harper will be home. It is her house to run. She's going to be back from the motherland, running down what's been going on with Africa Surf, some of her trials and tribulations and successes. We always root for Rhonda to do well. And we know that as a BASN alumnus, she carries our brand wherever she goes, and we are proud of her for that. So Rhonda will be on the show next Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern, to run the show and talk to us as we talk to her about what has been going on in her quest regarding Africa, her goals with her own surf outlet, and the trials and tribulations that she's walked through and overcome, because she is the queen extreme. Now, as I close out, two things I want you guys to have sit in the mainframe for a little bit. This is just a little over 3 years after a team of kids from Saskatchewan, the Humboldt Broncos, were killed in a vicious bus wreck. And I believe 17 members of that crew lost their lives. They are trying to recover. You know, junior hockey is a big deal there, obviously, but the Broncos are still shaking off or trying to shake off the effects. This is the third year. We just want to give them an ashe and let them know that we remember them there in Saskatchewan. And, of course, we love hockey here, too. So we pay our respects. Mm-hmm. And the other one I'm going to drop on you guys has to do with 1970. So what the fuck happened in 1970? Well, then-Governor Nelson Rockefeller put in place some of the most draconian drug laws ever. People were getting time. I don't mean no bullshit, lock you up overnight. Time for having as much as a fucking nickel bag. Well, as of April 5th, and this is courtesy of the site Mary Jane, here's the law. Adults in New York City are allowed to smoke weed anywhere that cigarette smoking is legal. And cops can no longer use the smell of weed as an excuse to conduct a search. This is as of April 5th, 2021. This is important because We know cops abuse their authority as they fish for shit, or even just doing dick dastardly shit knowing that they could do it. But you can't do that shit anymore. And if I had something light up, I would light up. But you know, even with these things, people who spent years in jail behind bullshit are still feeling the after effects about it. All I can say is you can hit it and pass it. Puff, puff, pass. Kiss my ass. We'll see you Saturday. Actually, we'll see you tomorrow with another musical edition of the Big Bang Tournament. We're going to have Prince and a couple other surprises in the mix, 9 p.m. Eastern. For everybody else, please, once you get from A to B and back to A-OK, wash your hands, wash your ass, wear a mask, please, but your best.
Pour the coffee and even park the cars. I get to drive the fat bastard straight home from the bars. And all of these jobs, I'll do them with pride. I'll gain the trust and soon I'll live large and start to thrive. And this thing about this is the only way. Kid from the street can climb the ladder and make prime pay. Growing up where I did, you get to see a lot of things. The guys in this club were like the local kings. They had the finest broads, all willing and able. In any restaurant, they got the best damn table. Pinky rings and Rocky Cuban cigars. They had shiny suits by the dozen in the trucks of their cars. To a kid like me, to get this far, Andrea Dorian, social club to face a local bar.
No, no, no.
I had dreams of this life since I was 10. Finally made it straight to the center of a lion's den. So to make my phone see, I do what they say. Cause I'm looking to a future, to a brighter day. When I'm a full boom box, I make gummy gump, running scams for grams off of some straight-laced chump. All of these petty tasks ain't just for nothing. It'll all be worthwhile when I get my butt.
Gotta get my butt, cause I gotta get paid. When you're paid, you're the man. When you're not, you're just nothing. Gotta get my butt, cause I gotta get made. When you're made, you're the man. When you're not, you're just nothing.
Break it down to the crew. I'll tell you who the hell they are and what the fuck they do. I'll start at the bottom, then I'll move up the line. No matter what I say, they're all friends of mine. So even though I know this guy's a little bit slow, every operation needs some muscle to make it go. Bobby back. The guy's a soldier like I am. Made his bones 20 years ago. Stuck a guy with an eye jam. Quick with the club, so when push comes to shove, if the shit hits the fan, he's the man. You gotta love Tony Fingers. Another cat in the crew, just hijacked an armored truck. The driver turned up blue. Tight with the Don and a stand-up guy. He'll hit the trigger on his gun before you blink your eye. The guy knows the biz. At the track, he's a whiz. So good with the ladies, yeah, the pussy fizz. And speaking of chicks, the Don's consigliere pick. With his foot fetish is enough to make everybody sick. He may be a pleaser, but he keeps the record clean. Money filter through Geneva, important guy.
Gotta get my butt, cause I gotta get paid. When you're made, you're the man. When you're not, you're just nothing. Gotta get my butt, cause I gotta get made. When you're made, you're the man. When you're not, you're just nothing.
Now Don DeVito's a large man and a legend with a sword. Coming up as a soldier, they used to call him Brad Paul. Prince on the street, the man with the master plan. Took me in at 15, so I'm his biggest fan. But he's not without critics, even in our own crew. That would entertain Paulie Gaga if he ever knew. To me, he's the best, to that I will attest. Came up from the streets, and I know he wears a crest. A Don is a Don, regardless what it is he does. So DeVito's the boss, because.
And
there's this girl I know all of my life. I wouldn't call her a slut, but still she's far from a wife. When I was a kid on Delancey Street, I knew she'd be Gumata bringing drama to somebody.
Good.
Sexy and smart, her name is Gabrielle. Whip of her perfume, you'll see your members smell. Girl got it all, but still she's well adjusted. Word has it, she's the only one that Don's trusted. She's not just a mall like us, she's on call. With all Gabrielle is, even a Don might fall.
Gotta get my butt, cause I gotta get paid. When you're paid, you're the man. When you're not, you're just nothing.